transitional eyeglasses, so with this bright light, they might turn into sunglasses. Greetings in the name of Jesus. As it's been said frequently this morning, happy Mother's Day to all you moms for the role of motherhood, whether you've birthed a child, fostered, adopted, or just been a good caregiver of one that was in need. God bless you. Well, when Pastor asked me 3 weeks ago to share my testimony, I immediately said yes, which is so out of character. I was in shock. I heard that yes come out of my mouth. And I said, okay. He said, you have 15 minutes to share. And I said, I'm going to write it down so that I could read it, stay on point and on track. So if you don't mind, I'm going to read it. Most of you here today know who I am, but those online and some of you here might not. So I'm going to introduce myself. That's why I told him he didn't need to. My name is Roxanne, with the legal E. That's a private joke. I'm wife to John, whom I'll be happily married to for 48 years this July. When we married, neither one of us were believers. In fact, the only thing faith-based at our wedding ceremony was that it took place in a church. I'm a proud mother of two beautiful married sons, Jason and Ricky. Their wives are Rachel and Rochelle, who's here. Now I have such lovely daughters. I often say if I was able to pick wives for my sons, they're better than anyone that I would have chosen. They love Jesus. And they love my boys. Yes. Amen. So I'm grateful. Wow. No. I have four of the most amazing grandchildren, Kyla, Elijah, Layla, and Hannah. They're all teenagers now, and they too love Jesus. Amen. After many years of living in different states, we now all reside here in Pennsylvania, which allows me to be the hand grandmother that I so desired to be. Not sure how long this will last, but I'm enjoying this now season. I feel truly am blessed. Well, this is my story. Each one of us, like Annie said, has a story. And if you would just think back and reflect on the different times of your life, God has kept you. Someone was praying for you. If you're not a believer, you're still simply just building your testimony. One day you will share your story, being an encouragement to others and giving God all the glory. Hence, hopefully that's what I'm doing today. God has truly watched over me and protected me from the beginning of my life. As Jeremiah 1:5 states, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. You see, my mother had a hard life. She was pregnant at the age of 19 with my older sister, married the man she trusted and adored, but quickly realized he had a different viewpoint of marriage and did not stay true to his marriage vows. Soon she found herself going through a divorce only after 5 short years of marriage due to the continuous heartbreaks. During that time, I was conceived, and let's say it was not in a moment of passion and wanting to have another child. But my mother continued with her pregnancy, knowing and realizing she no longer had a husband to depend on and already had a young child to care for. Due to such stress, I believe, was the cause for my premature birth at just 7 months, requiring hospitalization until I reached the weight of 5 pounds. I truly understand the scripture verse, Psalms 139:14, which says, I will praise you, and I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. God does not make junk, and I was not born a mistake. Upon release from the hospital, we went directly to live with my grandmother, a God-fearing woman who diligently prayed for her family and did whatever she could. By the time I was just 2 years old, my mother remarried and had a third child, my brother. Sad to say, this too was not a healthy marriage. Surely not one God intended to be. There were constant arguments, violent fights, which frequently required police involvement. Not what children should witness or experience. My grandmother continually rescued us, for she was the solid anchor of the family. Her home was a haven, a safe place. God seemed to honor her heartfelt prayers, allowing our hearts to be protected and free from any scars. Growing up, resources were limited, which required my mom to work full time. But we were well taken care of by our grandparents, as well as other family members that stepped up. They all pitched in to help raise us. We were loved and we were protected. My mother always told us just how sorry she was for everything and reassured us how much she loved us. At the age of 16, I met John, my husband. He was in high school, and I was in my first year, he was in his first year of college to be an architect. I just loved saying that I had a boyfriend who was in college going to be an architect. He had his own car, and I was extremely impressed. My family, we used public transportation, or what you called shoe leather express. You walked everywhere. Until eventually, my dad got an old used car. John and I dated for several years, got engaged, and we were married in 1977, when I was just 21 years old. He was like my knight in shining armor. His lifestyle was so completely the opposite of mine. I was from the south side of town, called the ghetto. He was from the north side of town, which was upper class. He was raised in a healthy family setting, a beautiful home, a stay-at-home mom who enjoyed cooking and baking. I loved going to their house. The smell of her cooking was amazing and tasted good too. His dad was brilliant, had a job which allowed him to make decent money and gave them an opportunity for multiple vacations. In my eyes, they seemed to be like the television shows from the 60s, Donna Reed and Leave It to Beaver. I don't know if any of you remember those shows. Back then, everything seemed perfect for them. But as we know, television shows have a way of not showing true reality. Many homes have dysfunction behind the scenes. Eventually, my mom started drinking, probably to escape the disappointments in her life, and soon became an alcoholic. One day, while she was watching television, the show PTL with Jim and Tammy Baker were on, and they asked if anyone would like to accept Jesus into their hearts to pray with them. My mom, as drunk as she was, touched the television and repeated their prayer. Immediately and miraculously, my mom was saved, delivered from alcohol, and baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, and she had no clue what transpired. But she was never the same again. She felt true love, a holy love, inner peace and joy, hallelujah. She was able to move forward, making positive changes and growing in the things of God. She later became the secretary to the pastor of her church for many years, bringing so many to the Lord. She had that gift. You just spoke to her, and somehow they would just accept Jesus. It was amazing. At this time, I had been married for 3 years. She was very persistent. In fact, she was annoying. And she would continually ask me to her church, invite me all the time. So to get her off my back, I said, okay, I'll go with you this time. And let me tell you, it was wild. I never experienced such a service. They were so loud, quite boisterous, speaking out while the pastor was preaching, jumping up and down, clapping and tapping tambourines. I thought they were so disrespectful to God and that this must be a cult. Any church service I had ever attended was quiet, holy reverence, so I thought. But I kept going back because I loved seeing the changes in my mother, and I was starting to enjoy it. Shortly after this, I became pregnant, expecting our oldest son, Jason. I had already experienced a miscarriage before and was very fearful it could happen again. The Holy Spirit got a hold of me, comforted me, opened my eyes and ears to realize the need for Jesus in my life, and I surrendered, giving my heart to him. But my husband did not appreciate my newfound love for Jesus and wanted nothing to do with him. So I was not able to share with him all the things I was learning. I'd continued going to church and made the changes I needed myself to be a better wife and mother. 4 years later, we had our second son, Ricky. I loved being a mom and spending time with my boys. I was the type of mom that would get excited when the schools were closed just so we could have more time together. I only wished my husband was included in some of those special godly moments. I prayed and so wanted our home to be a house of prayer, as quoted in Joshua 24:15, which says, "As for you and my house, we shall serve the Lord." Unfortunately, our home at that time, the Lord's name was mostly used in vain. During these challenging days, not only had to fight the enemy or knowing what to say in prayer, I would simply worship. This is a nugget of truth. Worshiping God will transform you, changing you more and more into the one he designed you to be. Genuine worship requires that you know him as he truly is. You cannot comprehend him perfectly or completely, but you can strive to know him accurately, as he's revealed in the Bible. By deepening your understanding of God, you are transformed and he is glorified in beautiful worship. Hallelujah. God saved me before my husband for a reason. Unknown to me why, but what I did know was God desired only the best and good things for me. So there were things I needed to learn. Of course, I was a slow learner, frequently made mistakes trying to do things on my own strength instead of God's. Can I do a quick illustration? Pastor, can I have you and John come up here? Just for a minute, come. My hands are sweaty. On this side.
By the way, I'm realizing that John and I both married up, you know.
All right. Pastor's going to portray Jesus, right? Doesn't he make a great Jesus? And John, you're just going to be yourself, my husband. And I'm holding on to Jesus because yes. I'm saved now and learning. And I love my husband, and I'm holding on to him.
Amen.
But having an unbeliever in our home, my mate, I wanted to introduce him to Jesus, so I would constantly be tugging him this way, and I'd say, "I know you're the head, but I'm your neck, and I'm turning you this way." And God showed me I need to get out of the way, because if I step back, look what happens.
Yeah.
Jesus takes his hand,
Amen.
And I come over here.
Amen.
Jesus is in the middle of our marriage. He's in the center of it all.
Yeah.
And when we do it God's way, it just works out successful and perfect and better.
You're doing fine.
Getting out of the way, though, doesn't mean I stopped praying and interceding for my husband. It simply meant I needed to talk to God more about him instead of me talking to my husband all that I thought he needed to hear about God. God didn't need me to defend him. As wives, we really set the tone for the proper atmosphere in our homes. Be led by the Holy Spirit, knowing when to speak or to stay silent. Loving actions speak volumes. Be assured they watch your action. Remember, men want to be respected and women want to feel loved. I came across a simple prayer for how to pray for an unbelieving husband, which says, Father, I know it is your will to live a life of unity and love. My spouse and I are not united, but we have committed ourselves to each other. Therefore, I pray you will overcome the unbelief of his heart and bring us together in a shared faith in Jesus so that we might be one in spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I also held on to scripture verses like 1 Corinthians 7:14, for the unbelieving husband has been sanctified through his wife. In Ephesians 3:20, God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we ask or think. Whatever you're believing for, whatever you're dreaming about, God is going to take that and make it bigger, better, and more rewarding than you've ever imagined. Amen, amen, amen. Look at where my husband is today. Hallelujah. What he did for us, he can do for you. He's not a respecter of persons. I had to learn I was not responsible for my husband's actions or his speech. I should not be embarrassed and feel like it was my fault and a reflection of who I was. This is the same truth for children. Everyone has free will, making their own choice. It did take 13 long years being unequally yoked, the strain in marriage, trying to follow God, yet not aggravate my husband. Everything about God upset him. Going to church with our sons without him and not being able to share anything that happens in church with him was hard. We knew he loved us and always provided for us the best he could. We just knew he needed Jesus to experience what we had and live life pleasing to the Lord. He was a good sinner. You know, good in his own eyes. Do what I do, not do as I say. Not the role model our sons needed at the time. But God knew on an ordinary day, he too would surrender. And when he did, he got a hold of God and hasn't let go. He excelled in the knowledge of God, has a hunger and a thirst for understanding God, all he desires for us. Lovingly serving others and truly lives by example. We're so proud of the man he is today. I love him more than ever. It's much easier to love a man and partner with someone who honors God and is obedient to his word, especially how to honor your wife. We've also learned each other's love language and daily try to uphold that. We learned from the book by Gary Chapman entitled The Five Love Languages, How to Express Heartfelt Commitment to Your Mate. Highly recommend it if you haven't read it. It works, and we're determined to work. It's a continual process. Today, we are better spouses to each other, much better parents, and good grandparents. Thank you, Jesus. I'll close with this. God has also carried me through a different season, one of great loss, experiencing many loved ones die in a short window of time. My mother and my biological dad died within 6 weeks of each other. When my mother-in-law passed away, 5 months later, my sister passed away. And 5 months later from that, my stepdad passed away. Shortly after that, a dear sister-in-law and my brother-in-law died within 2 weeks of each other. Thankfully, I was able to be with all except two at the time of their last breath, seeing their departure into the hands of Jesus. It's painful going through the grief process of loss and separation, but I rejoice in knowing one day we will see each other again. I know beyond a shadow of doubt that they are well with Jesus. Only one death I seem to really struggle with frequently, not knowing for sure his destination. I'm trusting and I'm holding on to Jesus, pressing into God willing, all of them I'll see again. I remember coming across a devotional on your dependency for God, which said, I'm calling you to live in joyful dependence to me, meaning Jesus. Many people view dependence as a despicable condition, so they strive to be as self-sufficient as possible. Jesus says, this is not my way for you. I designed you to need me continually, to delight in the neediness when you live in harmony with your Creator's intentions for you. You can maximize your potential and enjoy your life more. And that's my goal in life, to be dependent on Jesus and hear him say one day, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thank you for listening. And remember, there's power in prayer. You're all here because someone was praying for you. And there's power in the name of Jesus. God bless you.
Wow, I don't even feel like I need to speak. Except that I felt like the Lord gave me something. Roxanne, thank you. Beautiful. Mine is not polished like hers. But I'm going to share my heart. And Annie, I am so grateful that you shared what you shared, because it ties in so much with what I felt like the Lord wanted me to just kind of encourage us with today. So I'm actually getting ready to speak at a women's camp on June 2nd and 3rd, Monday and Tuesday. And I had started preparing for that and realized that what I was preparing for the first session of our gathering, I really felt like I needed to share here. So we're actually going to go into the Old Testament in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Now, O Israel, this is starting verse 1. Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I am teaching you to perform, so that you may live and go in and take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. You shall not add to the word which I command, which I am commanding you, nor take away from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I commanded you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord has done in the case of Baal Peor. For all the men who followed Baal Peor, the Lord your God has destroyed them from among you. And you'd have to read some of the history there. But you held fast to the Lord your God. I'm sorry, let me say that again. But you who held fast to the Lord your God are alive today, every one of you. See, I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do thus in the land where you are entering to possess it. So keep and do them, for that is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord, our God, whenever we call on him? Or what great nation is there that has statutes and judgments as righteous as this whole law which I am setting before you today? Only give heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently, so that you do not forget the things which your eyes have seen, and they do not depart from your heart all the days of your life, but make them known to your sons and your grandsons. What a beautiful, beautiful passage. I love that even here in the Old Covenant, there was a people who were chosen by God, who had a relationship with the living God, And God would speak to them through, in this case, through Moses, and encourage them to walk in the statutes that the Lord had prepared for them. There is reference there that God is near. He is near to us. And that we can come to him for whatever reason, no matter when, no matter what we're going through, we can call on the Lord. And he is there. He is near. There's a reminder for us to follow his statutes and his righteous judgments. You know, as I was sleeping, well, actually before I went to bed last night, Rich said, don't sweat this, you know, just share your heart. And I'm just like, I'm sweating it, I'm sorry, I just am. Anyway, and you know, he's like, don't overthink it. So I'm like, okay, all right. I knew this is what I wanted to share, but there was some more that I just felt like, you know, just needed to come together. And so I went to bed and I just prayed, and through the night, I was dreaming. And I was reminded of something from my past. And then this morning, as I was just kind of putting some more meat around the bones, I was reminded of Erica and Ryan when we went to China. There were so many God stories when we went to China. But I remember this one night we were traveling, and maybe you'll remember this, Erica. We were driving. It was very, very late at night, and we were heading to the compound where we were going to be doing a conference. And we're clipping along, and I remember I'm sitting all the way in the back of this, I think it was a 15-passenger van, sitting all the way in the back, and for whatever reason, it was only God. Our friend Tim was sitting all the way in the front, and he was in the passenger seat of the very front of the van. And I just yelled up to him, hey, Tim, I think you should put your seatbelt on. Tim put his seatbelt on, and not very long after I said that, boom. I mean, there was this smack. I remember just like going forward, I hit my knees on the seat in front of me, and it was like, what in the world just happened? We get out and hear the driver hit, I think it was a pile of stone or a pile of sand. Do you remember that, Erica? What's that?
It was in the middle
of the road. This pile of stone was in the middle of the road. And it was like, boom. We get out, like the bumper's fallen off, you know, they like have to like, you know, put the bumper back on, and somehow or another we get back on the road, and you know, we make our way to the journey and on our journey. And I was thinking about this remembrance that I had in my sleep last night, and it was not one of my finer moments, but I felt like I needed to share this. But there was a time when David and Rachel were really little. I think Rachel was only about, I don't know, a year, year and a half. And I was struggling. I was really struggling. I was struggling in my relationship with Rich. I was just really having a hard time. And I was tempted. I was tempted to be unfaithful to him. And it was a really, really hard, difficult time. And I toyed with that temptation, and I got so close. But here's what happened. I remembered the statutes of the Lord. I remembered. And I said, God, I need your help. I really need your help. I don't feel what I should feel. And I was reminded of the psalmist David, and he said, against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. And I repented. I repented. And I remember saying, God, you know, I'm gonna love Rich out of obedience to you. I don't feel love for him right now. But I'm gonna love him out of obedience. And you know, it wasn't long that that relationship that I was tempted with, that person, suddenly moved out of state. Hallelujah. And God began to change my heart. And it was a beautiful thing because, man, you know, I wouldn't be here today if I would have given in to that. We wouldn't be here today if I had given in to that. And as I was thinking about that, I was thinking how important it is for us to remember. Lest we forget things that God has done. We need to remember. We need to remember the difficulties, but I want to tell you, on the other side of that, Isaiah says, therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Which is a direct reference to John 4 that talks about Jesus meeting the woman at the well. And that woman had an encounter with Jesus that not only changed her life, but changed the lives of a whole community. She, when she talked to Jesus and Jesus talked to her, it was like, whoa, you must be Jesus. You must be the Messiah. You must be the one that they've been talking about. And he said, yeah, I am. I am he. And this woman, if you remember, she was living in sin. She was living far away from what would be righteous living. But Jesus went out of his way. He went out of his way to let her know that there was living water for her to experience. Isaiah goes on to say, and in that day, what day is that? It's the day of the Lord. It's the day when Jesus fulfills the will of the Father. In that day, you will say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his deeds among the peoples, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. John, that's what he did for you. That's what he did for you, Roxanne. That's what he did for you, Annie. That's why we can say and we can sing with so much joy like we did this morning, because we have experienced this incredible, incredible love, this reckless love, this love that just is indescribable. And when you've hit that pile of rocks and it makes you stop and you like step back and you say, what just happened? But it's that reset. It's that divine reset that Rich talked about. It's that moment when you know that things just can't go on the way they have been. And something has to change. And you give into, you yield your heart, you give your heart over to a love that is so amazing. I can't imagine my life if I had fallen into the trap of the enemy. Man, I am the most grateful woman. I'm so grateful for my husband. I'm so grateful for my kids and my grandkids. I'm so grateful that I've got a mom and a mother-in-law who are still alive and we can celebrate with you today. I'm so grateful my brother came today to be with us. Jeff, I love you. I'm just so grateful. I'm going to end with a psalm that we use, as many of you know. I work at the Capital Area Pregnancy Center, and we've got baby bottles that we're handing out, and you can, you know, gather your change throughout the month and bring them back on Father's Day. But one of the areas of ministry that I love is our abortion recovery ministry. And this Wednesday will be my last session with one of the gals that I've been working with, and it's just been, we've had just an incredible time of journeying through healing after she's experienced a couple of abortions, and she never was able to have any children after that, and you know, but God has done an incredible work in her. I sit with her every week, and she just exudes the love of Jesus. And she's so grateful for his forgiveness. And this is the psalm that we talked about a couple weeks ago. I'm going to read the entire psalm because it's just so beautiful. I'm reading it from the Passion Translation. And I think the thing that I want to say before I read this is that my desire today in sharing what I did is to encourage every one of us to be willing to share our stories. The good, the bad, all of it. I remember it was about maybe a year and a half ago, Taylor was spending the night with us, and there was one evening she and I were just up on my bed and we were just talking. And she wanted to know about how Papa and I met. And so I told her our story. And, you know, just those times that we can just share our story with our kids and our grandkids and speak life to them. Psalm 32 says this, and this is an invitation to experience the grace, the forgiveness, the reset, the start over, whatever you need. Psalm 32, what bliss belongs to the one whose rebellion has been forgiven. Thank you, Lord. Those whose sins are covered by blood, what bliss belongs to those who have confessed their corruption to God, for he wipes their slates clean and removes the hypocrisy from their hearts. Before I confessed my sins, I kept it all inside. My dishonesty devastated my inner life, causing my life to be filled with frustration, irrepressible anguish and misery. The pain never let up, for your hand of conviction was heavy on my heart. My strength was sapped. My inner life dried up like a spiritual drought within my soul. Then I finally admitted to you all my sins. Refusing to hide them any longer, I said, "My life-giving God, I will openly acknowledge my evil actions," and you forgave me. All at once, the guilt of my sin washed away and all my pain disappeared. This is what I've learned through it all. All believers should confess their sins to God. Do it every time God has uncovered you in the time of exposing. For if you do this, when sudden storms of life overwhelm you, you'll be kept safe. Lord, you are my secret hiding place, protecting me from these troubles, surrounding me with songs of gladness. Your joyous shouts of rescue release my breakthrough. I hear the Lord saying, "I will stay close to you, instructing and guiding you along the pathway for your life. I will advise you along the way and lead you forth with my eyes as your guide. So don't make it difficult. Don't be stubborn when I take you where you've been before. Don't make me tug you and pull you along. Just come with me." So my conclusion is this: many are the sorrows and frustrations of those who don't come clean with God. But when you trust in the Lord for forgiveness, his wraparound love will surround you. So celebrate the goodness of God. He shows his kindness to everyone who is his. Go ahead, shout for joy, all you upright ones who want to please him. Go ahead, shout for joy. Go ahead. Let's shout for joy, because we want to please the Lord. We want to please him. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your forgiveness. I thank you that you wash us and you make us clean. I thank you that you are so patient. You are so patient. You are so gracious. And Father, I pray that we would hear your invitation this morning to come near to you, to come close, to embrace your love, to embrace your discipline. Lord, when you show us something that you want to help us change, I pray that we would not be stubborn, but that our hearts would be open and receptive to you. Lord, I thank you for every person in this room. If we're sitting in this room and we're breathing, we have a mama. We had a mama. And we bless motherhood today. And we bless life. And we bless the gifts that you've given to us. And I just pray that you would just continue to pour out your love onto everyone within the sound of my voice and beyond. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.